I said to some interview subjects a little while ago, we were talking about weeds. I said, next time I get Crystal on, I'm going to ask her, is the Kariwi project finding weeds on the mountain?
Yeah, we do find weeds, of course. Of course we do. Yeah.
Many? Lots? Is it a concern?
Well,
and I know this is not your area of expertise, it's pests.
Yeah.
So animal pests, not weed pests.
Yeah.
Plant pests.
Yeah, I'm definitely not as good a botanist as I wish I was. We have been working with Raglan or Whangaroa Weedbusters.
Yes.
A little bit, and they've been hammering at us a bit and saying, hey, you've got traps and they're surrounded by weeds sometimes. Like, what are you going to do about it? And it's another piece of work that's so huge for us to take on. But what our intention now is, though, to be as supportive as possible around the work that Weedbusters is doing. And we are starting to offer a weed service, like weed eradication service for landowners, private landowners that can afford to pay us, obviously, because it's just too big a job to do voluntary and make a huge impact. So we are kind of looking at the problem. We do have people on our team that are awesome botanists and that know their weeds and their natives. So that's really great. But what I would say is that edges are always the most vulnerable. So on the main mountain, you might not have as many weeds, but around the edges, around roadsides, around cliffs, around eroded areas, areas that are where trees come down, it opens up canopy.
Yeah.
And so fragmentation, they call it in ecological terms. So any areas where there's fragmentation and opportunities for weeds to grow, that's where you're going to get your problems. So some of the things like woolly nightshade or your creepers and viney type weeds are really can really kind of invade an area and even go all over the native trees and like kind of what's the word for it, Aaron?
Invade, take over.
Well, they take over colonize. And kind of just really take over the whole plant and kind
of they sort of swarm them. Really.
Swarm, That that's sounds like a very bee.
I know, but I'm thinking kind of the pictures. I'm thinking of the pictures that I saw, and that's what it feels like.
Yeah,
it feels predatory.
Yeah, yeah, and they completely take over. So, and obviously on the cliffs and that, we've got heaps of pampas. Around the coastal cliffs on at the beach and that.
Are they native or
no? So
foreign?
They are also foreign. So they look very similar to the toi toi.
Yeah, for ignoramuses like me, I've got no idea which is which.
Well, you go crawling through them and you'll know the difference really quick.
Oh, which one cuts you?
Well, the pampas is really, it's cutting grass. And the way to tell the difference is that the pampas is much whiter and the plume is much whiter and robust and straight up.
Yeah.
Whereas the toi toi tends to droop and it's got more purpley hue to it as well, I think.
Yeah.
It doesn't tend to get as big. The irony is that probably a quarter of our seabird burrows are under pampas grass.
Uh-huh.
So they burrow in under
grass
and they can dig it out. And so native birds will use introduced trees and
I don't think they would say those are a problem because they're not taking over the forest.
No, not the forest.
I came away with from the science night was that we were going to lose the majority of our forests if we do nothing. The ability of the invasive species to completely take over and swamp a plant.
Yeah,
that's the term you're looking for.
Swamping the plant. Yeah.
I'm such an expert, but that's the emotional feeling you get from when you see the pictures is that plant's been swamped and it just dies.
Yeah.
So and then another thing they said too was that the riparian management can actually be a way that weeds get onto a situation like Kariwi because it's surrounded by farms. Farms are actually quite good for stopping weeds because anything that grows gets eaten right away when it's young. And so the farms create a good buffer zone, but some riparian management that's not properly cared for, weeds can get away there and then work their way up and then get into the forest that way, which was a little alarm bell that I hadn't known existed.
Yeah, there's definitely challenges. It shouldn't stop us from doing what we're doing, but I think...
No, you've just got to take it into account.
Yeah, always looking at an ecosystem as a big holistic kind of...
Yeah.
thing, you know, that where you can't just take out one and expect the others to, you know, something else will respond in return. You know, if you take out rats, what's going to happen to other, you know, invasive species?
It'll create space for mice or stoats, yeah, or something else. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, like, I mean, that's the experience they had with gorse. You know, if you take out gorse, what's going to come in its place? And then they realised gorse was quite a great nursery crop for natives to come through. The natives come through, shade out the gorse, and the gorse dies.
Yeah.
So some weeds can be effective at helping native trees come back.
Well, I think I thought that's what normally happened, because I knew that about gorse. But yeah, gorse is benign in that sense, even though it's a horrible plant. You don't want to fall into it. The vines and other things will.
Yeah. Yeah. And there probably will be places where you still want to control it. You know, you don't want to. But yeah, it's a massive challenge for sure.
Yeah, and a hard one to incorporate. You're already busy. You've got your volunteers busy. Yeah.
But the thing is that we are willing to do it. So we've started it as a paid service for some landowners that were wanting us to do predator control as well as doing the weed work. So they're willing to pay for that, which is awesome. And then obviously promoting what the Weed Buster guys are doing and slowly just ticking away on that, encouraging people to do work on their own properties as well. I've got a bit of a bee in my bonnet about the woolly nightshade, and I think it's just such a big tree that just pops up. So I'm really keen to do a bit of work on them around the areas where we're working.
Personal.
It's personal.
It's personal.
Yeah.
Me and Gorse is personal.
Woolly nightshade. it's kind of a cool name.
Hey, all right. Well, let's. Yeah. Let's move on to it's long-term plan season for the councils. Folks, you need to know, regular listeners hear me explain this constantly, but a long-term plan is the council's 10-year spending plan, which they renew every 3 years, except not the district council this year because the government's new legislation has screwed them up, so they're waiting a year. But obviously the regional council is, because that's what you want to talk about.
Yeah.
So what is it? What are they? Because they spend on quite different stuff, but a lot of it's environmental work.
Yeah. Land, water, and air
and
is
transport.
Their focus. And transport. Yeah. There's a zone kind of targeted rate, and then there's also general rates. So
They still have that western. Are we in the western zone?
But
they coastal. don't have a committee to go with it.
No, they don't have the committees anymore. But the point is that regional council is one of our bigger funders. And it's really great when people say to me, what's the regional council doing for you guys? It's really nice to say that a lot of our rates come back into our community and are spent here.
Yeah.
And that the council has developed a significant number of community funds. There's the Natural Heritage Fund, and then there's the Environmental Initiative Fund, and there's a small scale fund as well. And so individual landowners can apply. So if you want to do predator control or weed work on your individual property, and you maybe have some native forest or an area that's significant and you want to work on it, you can apply yourself, which is awesome. But it's also available for the bigger funds are available to hapu and community groups.
Yeah.
And we have received funding from them for they 4 year round. So it's a long term commitment from the council to local projects, which is actually quite unique nationally. It's a really significant commitment that the council here makes to conservation and community groups. And so as part of the long term plan, is that more and more groups are wanting this funding and the fund is overprescribed. So their proposal is to increase the fund. And before you kind of go, oh my gosh, how much is that going to mean? We're talking like the difference from another $5 or another $12 or something. So we're not talking huge amount of money per property.
Yeah.
We're talking one or two coffees. And you imagine how much coffee gets drunk in a day. So I kind of try and think of it like I'm more than happy to pay another $10, $12 to increase funding for community groups, and that's what they're proposing. But in order to get that funding across the line and for us to show that there's community support to keep supporting community groups to do this work, it's really important that we put into the a submission to the long-term plan.
Yeah, okay.
And that's kind of what we're asking people to do. So we will have stuff on our Facebook page about that.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's the kind of the summary and the reason why we're asking people to do it.
The regional council chair appeared at the Raglan Community Board meeting last week, and I wasn't there for all of that, but she must have talked about that.
Yeah, Pamela's story.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did meet with her. And I think quite a few councillors are supportive of the fund increasing, but they need to hear from the community and not just from us.
Yeah.
From people from a diverse range of kind of backgrounds from this community that say, hey, yeah, we want our rates to go towards communities doing this work. And just to put in perspective, you know, like for council to employ someone to do the work that we do, it's a huge cost. Because
your
salaries
costs
and overheads, and imagine if they use contractors, it would be tripled. Whereas the money that the council gives us, we triple it in terms of other funding that we leverage from that. And then on top of that, we probably double it again. So that's six times the return on that investment that the council puts into us from volunteer effort.
So it would cost them three times as much to do the same
six
work.
Six times, probably.
Six times.
Yeah. And that's even finding the people and the capacity to do it, because the intensity of the work that we do is just about unachievable just with a few people.
Yeah, for people who don't understand, like I'm running another community organisation similar in some ways to your project, and yeah, we run on the smell of an oily rag. We don't have extra. Like, this is us. This is our room here. You probably don't even have a building. I'm not sure. Do it from your kitchen table.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the overhead costs are tiny compared to, like, a council.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
you get such good bang for your buck.
Yeah.
With these sorts of things.
And the money goes back into this community. It goes to employment. So we have about 10 people working for the project part-time.
Yeah.
And that's about 5 to 6 FTE, depending on the time of year and the
full-time equivalent.
Yeah. So that, and then the money we spend, a lot of it goes back into this community, and it goes into programs for our kids. So it's a real win-win for this community to have council funding that goes to communities. So council collects the rates, but what do we get back in return? We get programs for our kids. We get a restored ecosystem across the mountain and the coastline. Like, we get hundreds of volunteers, so there's so much benefit.
So how do people communicate to the council?
So there should be actually available from today. There should be an online submission form that's supposed to make it really easy, and there'll be other things around transport and Whanga Marino and different areas, you know, that they're asking for feedback on. And I think then it'll show like a proposal of like, if we increase the rates to this much, would you agree? And you know, that kind of, so I think it gauges how you feel about it, and then there's an area where you can put your own words. And so what we will do is put some drafts together, so you can wait for those, and we'll put them on our Facebook page and email them out and that, and just give you a little draft of kind of what you could say. But you can amend that and then make it into your own, because it's really good to use your own words and just say, hey, this is important to me and this is why, or this is important to me and I've been a volunteer and this is why I want to see this done in this community. And we do live in this beautiful small community, and I you know, like, the council's going to want to keep supporting this project.
Well,
but us giving them a boost, you know, and saying, hey, guys, keep voting for this because we're in support of this is really important.
Yeah, you can even compliment the council.
Yeah.
Say, good job.
Yeah. They are pretty positive, but...
But they receive so few compliments that you might...
Yes.
One compliment might go a long way.
Yeah, and also they sometimes receive very few submissions.
Especially the regional council.
Regional council. Yes. Yeah. And the reality is that it still goes to a vote. So we're talking to councillors as well, because if you get, I don't know, how many councillors are there, 10, 12, whatever it is. Like,
so sort of 12 to 14.
So if they vote and it goes to a vote and 5 are for and 7 against, then you don't get, it doesn't go through. So you can get a whole bunch of counsellors that are really supportive, but not enough counsellors that are supportive.
Yeah,
and so you have to work on them as well.
There has been a split in that council, but I don't know where it is at the moment. I haven't looked at it lately.
Yeah.
And this may be one of those things where they all go, no, we're definitely doing this again.
Yeah, and that's why Pamela will be telling you what she thinks is important too, because she'll be hoping to get submissions and for things that she wants to see supported.
So she's also our counsellor, or one of two counsellors for our area as well. As being the chair, she's supportive of what you guys are doing?
Really supportive, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But she's only one vote.
Ultimately,
so she can be as supportive as, you know, she wants to be, but when it goes to vote, then, you know, she'll be outvoted. And that's why, you know, democracy is an interesting thing when you start dabbling in it, because you realise your one vote is so insignificant unless you have the ability to influence others.
Yeah. And that's... Yeah, and at district council level, it's even more pronounced because there's separate little communities. Like Pamela's story covers a large rural area as our councillor, and most of the councillors do, so they don't have... Like Lisa Thompson really identifies with Raglan in a way that Pamela's story just identifies with a large rural area, so it's not quite that emotional hook there. So in the district council level, there's a lot of argy-bargy. Well, not say argy-bargy, but they've got to work it out.
Yeah.
Whereas I hope at the wider region they can just go, this is sensible.
Yeah.
We're going to go with it. But having said that, actually there's been more aggro on that council in the last few years than the district council.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Although that's gone now though.
Yeah, it's personalities.
I hope it's gone.
I mean, I always joke and say, you know, I've got three brothers and when we go in our chat, we all have different opinions and different ways of doing things, and one from one extreme one way and another extreme the other way. And so if we, in a small family with four siblings, can't even land on, you know, the same thinking, how can you in a community? And I think embracing diversity and those different opinions and then landing in an area, in a place where we can live comfortably and we all have to compromise is the reality of democracy, right?
Yes.
And so I try and be very pragmatic about that. It's not easy and, you know, it makes your blood boil sometimes, but it is just the way it is. And so but what I love about this is there is an opportunity to do this. I've often ignored long-term planning and policy stuff because it's just another thing to take on. But I'm quite excited about this process because it gives us a voice. It gives the community to say an opportunity to say what they care about. And they've told us that they'll listen. And there's some awesome councillors like Bruce Clarkson, who's an amazing botanist and has been all his life kind of working towards biodiversity and been a, you know, professor at the university and that. And he's a counsellor. And he says, I'm going to be his counsellor for 3 years and then he's retiring. And he's just going for broke. He's just, you know, championing biodiversity and good decision making. And we've got some quality people like that in the council. And he's saying, put your submissions in, but don't just talk to me, talk to other people as well.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's probably time for you to go, is it?
I have a meeting.
So I'll just remind people that if they want to do that comment on the LTP, you're going to put some advice out on Facebook?
Yeah, be on Facebook and we'll put it through our email as well. But really happy for people to reach out if they want to have a chat about it or ask questions or find out other ways of, you know, that they might be able to influence and support. And and probably the next thing, next time maybe we talk about also the fast-tracking bill, because that's another thing that people should be putting in for as well. But we won't even start that conversation.
No, it's like we've got no minutes, and that
we've
requires
got no
a
minutes.
Lot of minutes.
Yeah, maybe you can talk to someone else about it that knows more.
See, it's like it's long-term plan season, so like next time I interview John Lawson, we're going to be talking about that. When I interviewed Lisa Thompson on Friday from the district council, in fact, there's going to be two councillors in the room and a staff member.
Cool.
So we're getting stuck into that, but it's, It's called the phrase long-term plan sounds very benign, but it's where they spend their money, and that's the thing that everyone cares about.
Yeah.
Where's the money being spent?
And it's also really hard for them to change tack after that's been set, because then the budget gets set. And then if you come in next year and go, why aren't they spending money on this other thing? Then you're like, well, you should have put a submission into the long-term plan.
Yeah, so this is
It's really hard for them to pivot later.
It's every 3 years. And for the regional council, what you're talking about, that's this year. For the district council, they've delayed it. But for this, for the Karioi project.
Regional council.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Crystal, thank you for coming in.